You're listening to Culture Narrow Chat, the only weekly English language podcast discussing Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Culture Narrow Chat is Barca Blaugranas writer Renato Gonçalves. Renato Gonçalves is the guest on this edition of Culture Narrow Chat. Renato flies again. This time we'll talk about the transfer window. Now that it has closed in Spain, and we'll discuss why Atletico and Barcelona both had what could be considered a poor summer. Atleti making just one official signing in the form of Vitolo, who is now on loan, quote-unquote, at Las Palmas, as the Diego Costa pursuit failed at the last minute. We'll talk about where Atleti go from here. Can Costa still be signed outside the window? Find out. After that, we'll talk about Barcelona and their very interesting summer. One could call it an unmitigated disaster. Despite a couple interesting signings in Ousmane Dembele and Nelson Semedo, it was more the failure to secure high-profile targets and the chaos at boardroom level that captured all the headlines. Before we continue, a quick disclaimer. My conversations with Renato are usually wide-ranging in nature. We hit on a bunch of topics, both in and out of football. These conversations are not centered exclusively on Atletico content. For episodes in that vein, I will refer you to my conversations with Rob Walker, Into the Calderon staff writer who appears on this program most Mondays, and my conversations with, among others, Carlo Valladares, tactics writer and Atleti fan who appears on this program every few weeks. However, if you proceed past this point, know that you will enjoy this episode just as much as we enjoyed making it. Couple of quick hits now. Head over to Facebook and like Into the Calderon at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. And lastly, check out our Patreon page. It is new, it is live, it is spectacular. Patreon.com/CultureNarrowChat. Check it out, learn how you can support the show. We'll be right back with Renato Gonçalves after this.
Yeah, we are.
So this will be fun. I think we both have kind of
the same complaints. I hope I don't start crying.
Yeah, you and me both. I'll just get angry. And
sounds
just,
like a plan.
And just rampage. Yeah, sounds like a plan, he says. You don't even know. Let's begin. Let's do our usual Renato thing here. So, Renato, this is the summer transfer window is over, finally. And I guess
Not yet. It's open in Turkey.
It is still open in Turkey for like another like 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, it closes on the 8th.
Yeah.
So I'm still hoping Barca sell Arda Turan to Galatasaray, but apparently that won't happen, so I'm sad.
I'm still hoping Nico Gaitan goes to Fenerbahce or somewhere, so you're not alone.
See, help us, Turkey.
Help us.
Please. So. Turkey's like China. They pay a lot of money for players who are not good anymore, but the trips are shorter, so it's attractive to players on the end of their careers.
No, Nico Gaitan isn't over the hill. Nico Gaitan is still in his prime. You should sign him. Absolutely.
Wait, are you seriously saying Nico Gaitan is on his prime?
I'm trying to convince Fenerbahce here. Don't interrupt me. Yeah, Fenerbahce, okay. Seriously. He's so good. He's awesome.
Yeah. He won the Ballon d'Or.
Right.
No, it's not Cristiano Ronaldo. It's Nico Gaitan.
Arda will totally lose the weight when he goes back to Galatasaray. Sign him.
Absolutely. He'll start caring about football and not about his salary. Sign it.
Yeah. We got off that train at just the right time, didn't we?
Yeah. I'm so jealous of you. You did. Had the good Arda Turan, and now you're watching us. Now you're laughing watching us suffer with the bad Arda Turan.
I have laughed on more than one occasion at his just general inadequacy in to fit at Barcelona. But yeah, his last season at Atletico, you could kind of see the problems. And
I don't think he's inadequate, to be honest, because he has played well for us in some occasions. I just think he doesn't give a damn about playing anymore.
Yeah, like he wanted to cash his checks.
He gave up on the national team at 29 years old. It's just like, yeah, I don't care about this anymore. Just because I'm having a little trouble, I don't care. I'm not going to play for my national team anymore. And I won't care that I play for Barca. I'm just going to collect my checks every week, and I'm fine. That's what it's become.
I mean, he also assaulted a journalist, which is not cool in my book. Should be in everyone's book.
I basically hate him more than I hate Neymar, and that's not something you're going to hear from Barca fans very often right now.
Ooh, yeah. That's intense hatred, man.
Right, yeah, there. I just want him out. I just want him out. Yeah, I have no idea how much I want him to go.
I can understand it. I wanted him gone, like when he got sent off in the quarterfinal against Real Madrid. That was the moment I said, "Right, get him out of here." And 2 months later, my wish was granted. Thank God for Bartow winning election. Right.
Don't even talk about that. I promised myself I wasn't going to get depressed in this one. So let's not talk about Bartow, please.
You did kind of get depressed last time, and I did feel bad about that.
No, it was fine. It was kind of a therapy session because I needed to talk to someone about the Neymar situation, and no one on my family cares about football, so I couldn't talk to people in my house. So I'm glad I had someone to talk about that. So it was good.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same. Like, no one in my family cares about football. They really don't. So I have very few options. I have a few friends who do, and obviously I have Twitter. But like, yeah, this has been
that helps.
It has. But this has very much been a summer that we can moan about. Let's start with Atletico, who finished the summer with one signing, and they barely got that signing over the line.
Yeah, it took a call at 3 a.m. to get the signing.
It literally did. He was on his way to sign his renewal with Sevilla. Vitola was. And then he decided to turn back, fly to Madrid, and get his deal with Atletico finalized. All because of Simeone, because the board couldn't get his signing done in time.
Exactly. And it's not like people might say, "Oh, but you're under a transfer ban." No, you're not under the transfer ban. You're under a registration ban.
Right, that has been...
still sign players.
That's been
They just can't play for you for 6 months. So you could do the business, but you decided not to for some weird reason.
Right. Did no one pay attention to what Barca did 2 years ago? Like, this has been like the most misleading thing about this summer is that, Atletico are under a ban. They can't make signings. Yes, they can. They just can't register them. Some may say, apparently, Atletico's president is one of these people, that signing players equals registering them, so you figure you just don't go for anyone, which is the complete wrong approach to take. Yeah, Enrique Cerezo was saying, it's complicated because we can't sign players. Like, yes, you can!
You can't register them.
Oh, my God. I saw that quote when he was giving one of his, like, 6 dozen interviews about Costa, and it was like, no! You can still sign him! Go sign him!
it's
they didn't sign him!
Yeah, it's insane.
They didn't sign him! They had nearly 3 months, and they didn't sign him.
Yeah, we knew this since January.
Yeah, we knew since January that he
wasn't going
to leave
Chelsea. So you could have tried to sign him in January, maybe.
It would have been tough because they were challenging for the league title, and China offered them more money anyway. But we knew in January.
You could at least started something there.
Yeah, you could have. But no, of course
Because you already knew that you were going to be banned. So it was like, hey, Chelsea, let's do a wink-wink here. We kind of sign him. He stays with you until December, and then he comes to us in January.
I mean,
keep him on loan there for the rest of 2017.
A forward-thinking club would have done that, but Atletico are not.
Seriously, though, if this was Germany, and Diego, if this was, let's say, I'm not gonna say Bayern because it's too easy. If this was Dortmund, and Costa wanted to go back to Dortmund, but Dortmund were going to be under a registration ban for 6 months. They'll approach Chelsea in January of 2017 and go, okay, we're going to sign him now. He's going to stay on loan with you until December. And January 2018, when they were able to register him, he's going to come. That's how German clubs do this. They're just efficient at what they do.
They're incredibly efficient and modern. They have these pre-deals, these pre-agreements, like 18 months in advance. Like Bayern had that with Hoffenheim for Sebastian Rudy, I think. Or they have it with Schalke for Goretzka.
No, Rudy was on a free. They had it for Sula, the center back.
Sula,
they agreed a deal for Sula in January.
Yeah.
And they also agreed the Rudy deal, but Rudy was on a free. Sula, they actually paid a fee. But and like when Liverpool did the deal for Naby Keita, oh my God, Liverpool is so smart. No, they are not. They're just doing what German clubs have been doing for 25 freaking years. and they just don't pay attention to Germany to see how they work. It's because the only reason Liverpool did this super smart deal is because they have a German manager who knows how the German system works. That's the only reason why Liverpool did it.
And they had to pay this huge premium, like I think it was £20 million, on top of his release clause.
Yeah, but that's what German clubs do, yeah. Though. Because, like, Bayern paid, I don't know, it wasn't actually disclosed, but Bayern paid a premium to Hoffenheim to assure that they, only they could activate the release clause of Niklas Schüle, and that's how they got the deal done in January. And they announced it in January.
Yep.
Schüle is coming to us in June, and they paid a premium in January to activate his clause in June. That's how they do everything since I can remember. And like I said, Aleti should have done the same with Costa. It's not that hard. So agree a deal with Chelsea, keep him on loan until December of 2017, and get him in 18. It wouldn't be hard.
Apparently, it was too hard, Renato. It was just much too difficult to pick up the phone and say, hey, we'll give you 45, 50 million for him, but you won't get it till next January because we can't register players. Apparently, it's just much too difficult.
Yeah, it's hard to think, I guess, if you're in Spain.
Yeah, so that didn't get done. Atletico are still optimistic that it'll get done in the next month. They want him training ahead of the next international break and getting himself match fit before January. It still looks like the move is going to happen, but that's not really the point. The point is, you knew Costa was going to be available in January. You knew since June that he wanted to come to you and you only. So you had nearly 3 months to do a deal, and you couldn't do it. You didn't even consider paying up until the very end of the window, and by then it was too late.
Yeah, that's really sad because, I mean, it's hard to negotiate with Chelsea, but like I said, they had 3 months to do it. Chelsea don't let the players go easily. That's clear.
Yeah.
But you had 3 months, and Chelsea knew for 3 months that Antonio Conte sent the text, which is the weirdest thing I've ever seen, by the way. If Conte actually sent the text, because it was Costa saying he did it, so I'm not sure. But anyway, you knew since June, since the end of the season. So you had until the 31st of August, since the 1st of June, literally 3 months. And they didn't even try until the last day. It's really crazy.
It was the
reverse. It's really hard to understand.
It was the reverse of last summer when... Last summer, Atletico made all this noise about bringing back Costa, and Chelsea considered filing a complaint with UEFA. Atleti made all the moves to get Costa back. Costa didn't really do anything. Atleti went after Gamero instead. This summer, Costa did pretty much everything in his power except go back to London. He did everything to get himself to force a move back, and Atleti were just like, eh, who cares? It was crazy, and both times the player stayed at Chelsea. Just it's incompetence.
Yes, that was the word I was going to use. They've been very incompetent at Atleti.
And because it's not like this is a new
when
thing.
When was the ban announced? Like, because Atleti appealed, but
June
when
1st.
Was the appeal rejected?
June 1st. And then a week later, Costa said, Conte has sent me this text, and I am going to leave. So from that point on...
10th of June.
Yeah.
Let's say from the 10th of June, they knew that Costa wanted Aleti and Aleti only. Call Chelsea and start a damn negotiation.
Oh, but Chelsea wants too much money. They want too much money. They want, 60, 70 million. Oh, scary, scary fees.
Who cares, though? Don't you need the player?
Yeah, you do. And this is another thing. Like, Atletico have been concerned that they're going to offend Chelsea by doing what they did last summer. Who cares about offending Chelsea? They're not in your league. You only see them at maximum 2-4 times a year in Europe. Who cares? You don't play in the same league as them. Sevilla do, and you have ruined your relationship with Sevilla after the Vitolo pursuit. Sevilla are going to take legal action. So why? Why do you care?
Thing. Chelsea lost their bargain power because Costa won't accept going anywhere else.
Right.
It's not like Aleti called Chelsea and Chelsea was like, nah, forget it. We have an offer, a big offer from AC Milan. We have Everton. We have Inter Milan. We have all these clubs that are making offers. And even though he really likes you, he's open to going to other clubs. That was not the situation. It was very clear from the start that Chelsea only had one option, or two options. Either sell Costa or have a player absolutely destroy their dressing room until January, when Aleti were able to do it again.
Yeah.
So Chelsea would sell for the right price. But I guess Aleti did the stupid thing that every club tries to do, which is make an offer on deadline day to try and make the deal cheaper. But it was too late. And it was incompetence, like I said.
Yeah.
There's no other word for it. If you have 2.5 months to do the deal and you don't, it's because you're incompetent.
And Letty's board, I'm sure, is saying, oh, it's fine, we can't register him until January anyway, so we can do a deal at any time and get a match fit any time. That's, not the point.
He
should have been in this squad a month ago.
Yes, but this is Diego Costa, and he could change his mind in January.
Yes.
and go to Everton.
He could.
Or AC Milan. This is Diego freaking Costa. The guy's insane, and he'll make crazy decisions, like bring a fire extinguisher to the post-match press conference after his team won the title.
Yeah.
So this is the guy who, whilst he's playing for Chelsea, he will use an Atletico Madrid shirt while he's doing a Periscope thing or Instagram. I don't remember.
No, it was the Instagram. And that was like the moment where I thought, okay, they're actually going to sign him. And like nothing happened. They just like kind of looked at it and moved on.
Yeah. Now, like, I don't want to compare it to Barca, but just to use Barca as an example, we have been incredibly incompetent. But at least we made four beats for Felipe Coutinho. We tried him. We actually tried all summer, and Liverpool just won sell. But and it's our fault that we didn't have any other alternatives, and we got desperate and went after Mesut Ozil and Angel Di Maria when we don't need them. But at least we tried to sign Coutinho. Atleti didn't even try. So Barca did the Coutinho negotiation for 2 months. Liverpool just didn't accept the offer. But Atleti didn't even try to get Costa, and that's the crazy thing. When Costa only wanted Atleti and Chelsea had no other option but to sell him, and Atleti just waited on the hopes of getting a cheaper deal. It was stupid.
Like, they could be accused of not wanting him. And yeah, you mentioned about the cheaper deal. There was no money this summer. And Atletico don't have a lot of money anyway, as we know. But there was, especially this summer, it was very tough for a couple of reasons. Number one, the ban precluded them really from selling any important players. And a big chunk of Atleti's incoming revenue is from selling a 30, 40, 50 million rated player every summer or two. That's where a lot of that money comes from. And Atleti weren't able to do that this summer because they had to keep everyone. The second reason is because of the stadium. The new stadium has cost, let's break it down. Atleti had to pay $30 million to buy the stadium from the city of Madrid. That's $30 million right there. Another $30 to $40 million, based on which reports you read, spent on infrastructure, building the roadways, the transport links, parking, etc. And then you have the specter of this huge, shady 160 million euro loan you got from Carlos Slim in Mexico. So all told, that's well over 200 million, 230 million. And it's probably more. And Miguel Angel Gilmarin, Atleti's CEO, said it's going to take 6 to 7 years to pay the stadium off. I think he's being very conservative with that estimate. So there was just no money this summer. Atleti were trying to make sales and digging under couch cushions for money because of those two reasons. And it was tougher this summer, I get that. But, I mean, you were going to pay $60 million for Lacazette. You were going to pay $60 million for all these strikers last summer.
Sure.
You were never going to sign Costa for $30 million. We have been saying that on this program for a couple months. You're never going to sign him for that price, not in this market. It's not a fair deal to anyone.
So I really think this was a wasted opportunity, because I really don't know if Costa is going to keep his promise of only Atleti only until January.
Yeah, who knows?
That's 4 months from now. And that guy's insane, so he might change his mind. We just don't know.
He might.
So, yeah, Atleti put themselves in a really tough situation, and now they just gotta hope that Costa doesn't change his mind, so they can sign him in January and bring him with Vitolo for the second half of the Champions League. and for the first 6 months just relying on Griezmann playing 90 minutes every game and scoring a hat trick every game.
Well, that's
just to survive until January.
That's if he doesn't get suspended again or something worse. But yeah, all three parties in this saga were just, they just acted like children. Like, Costa was just stamping his feet and took refuge in Brazil and wouldn't respond to any calls. Chelsea really held firm on the price, never really intended to negotiate, kept demanding Costa to come back, and kept finding him when he didn't. And Atletico just didn't care. Atletico didn't want to hurt any feelings, didn't want to step on any toes. They wanted a deal done cleanly, efficiently, and for a cheap price, and which was always unrealistic. So all three parties like kind of deserve this outcome. And who knows, maybe tomorrow even, like, Costa's not in the Champions League squad, so it's clear he's still not a part of Chelsea's plans. Who knows, maybe next week it'll get done, maybe in a month it'll get done. Maybe it won't even get done till New Year's Eve, and he couldn't even change his mind.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. Literally anything can happen with Diego Costa, literally. So
he's very unpredictable, as we know.
So it's gonna be tough, man. It's gonna be tough.
But Atleti did keep everyone else. I guess the silver lining of this summer that I'm gonna grade like a C-. I mean, Atleti kept just about everyone. Koke, Saul both signed massive new contracts. Griezmann signed a new contract. Oblak, it looks like he's gonna get a new contract. Probably some penalty save incentives in that one.
Yeah, there should be a clause. If you face Real Madrid, you have to jump.
I was waiting
for that.
You
have to try and save the ball. Then you get 10,000 extra or something.
I was waiting for that.
For each jump. That has to be the clause.
And Atleti have had an okay start to the season. The first draw at Girona was not good, but then they went to Las Palmas and just destroyed them. So, and they are the leading goal scorers in La Liga, which is something we never, ever say about Atleti these days. Back in the old days, we would, but not under Simeone. So, all in all, it's an okay start to the season. Atleti have Valencia at Mestalla next weekend, which I think that's going to be a difficult game. Valencia look kind of good this year. So that
They're very good in Madrid.
Yeah, like, they were.
Very good.
They were really good. I really like what they're building there. They really reinforced defensively. They have a lot of talent in midfield now. Carlos Soler is a player I love. And they have like
Mbappe is a really smart signing.
Yeah.
Although he might score an own goal from midfield, but he's a really, really good signing.
He might. Yeah, they look like the truth this year, and that's going to be a difficult game. And then we have the home opener at a stadium called Wanda. The pitch was laid out today, so that's exciting. It actually looks like this thing is going to open on time, and hopefully it doesn't collapse on everyone. God forbid. They have rushed this thing so much, man. They've been working around the clock to get this thing done on this timeline when, like, you could have stayed at the Calderon for another year. It really didn't have to be this year, but okay.
Yeah, it's not like the Calderon is about to collapse and you just can't stay there for another month or something. The Calderon is still a pretty damn good stadium.
Yeah, it's not like it's always been kind of peeling, but that's kind of the point. It's supposed to look like that. It's not like it's in any danger of the foundation crumbling, you know? You could have stayed there for another season. You really could.
Absolutely.
But
I did see the pictures of the stadium called Wanda, and I loved it. It looks really beautiful.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. They have the LEDs. They were testing those last week on the outside of the stadium to make it look like Allianz Arena.
I just hope the fans can recreate the same atmosphere.
Yeah, that's
I'm
the
sure
concern.
They'll do their part, but the stadium, when it's bigger like that, it maybe you just lose some of that magic from the Calderon.
Yeah,
so
that's
hopefully
the concern.
That doesn't happen.
I don't think it will, but the first few games are going to be probably
going to
be a
weird.
It's going to be weird to see.
It's not
going to
feel like home.
It's going to be weird to see him playing somewhere else.
It's going to feel like a Copa del Rey final or something.
Yeah, the atmosphere is not going to really be there at the start, I think. But I think it'll come eventually. I mean, these are some really, really passionate fans. And I think at the end of the day, everyone's going to embrace the stadium at some point.
I mean, first Madrid derby there, if they win it, that'll do it for the familiar atmosphere.
Yep.
It's gonna be home soon.
If they
win the first Madrid derby.
You beat Madrid there, you beat Barca there, and all of a sudden you have a new home. It's going to feel like home. Like, beating Malaga there doesn't really say much.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Malaga, but it's not Madrid. It's not Barca. It's not Sevilla.
It's just not going to make much of a difference. I mean, of course, you love to start the first game with a win, but it's not going to feel like, even if we get, like, I don't know, a draw against Madrid when Madrid winning 2-0 and get two late goals to get a draw, that already will do wonders for the stadium.
That's the hope, that it quickly feels like home. It's set to open in 12 days, probably 11 by the time this gets out, but less than 2 weeks. It's going to be exciting. I really am looking forward to it, as much as I'm going to miss the Calderon. I mean, this is a big step forward, I think, for the club. As much as we love the Calderon, this looks like one of the elite stadiums in Europe. It might host the Champions League final in 2019. It's between the stadium and Baku. In Azerbaijan, where Atletico are going as part of the Champions League this season.
Interesting. I forgot about the atmosphere. The first Champions League game is going to be awesome, dude.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
Because European night for Atletico.
It's Chelsea.
Fans,
the first home game is going to be Chelsea.
Yeah.
So quite a bit of excitement there.
I saw something awesome on Twitter. Someone said, like, Atleti should bring Diego Costa as the mascot for that game against Chelsea.
Sneak him in.
Yeah, leading the line, not playing, just there with the same shirt he used on Instagram.
Just but it's not him. It's the mascot. He's just a crazy fan.
Yeah, like stick him in the first row, and all of a sudden he runs onto the pitch, and when the stewards come to tackle him, he beats all the stewards. Because I mean, that's Diego Costa.
That just hops onto the pitch, goes straight for Conte.
You don't need a light show. You just need Diego Costa beating up stewards. That's the opening. That's the Wanda opening for me. Yeah. We just need two bare hands from the most aggressive footballer in history just beating up people.
He goes straight for Conte and gives him a hug.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
A bear hug.
Squeeze the life right out of you.
Yeah. I want to see your intensity tonight. Take this hug. Let me see if we can move after this. Oh, and here's my phone in your face.
You see that text message? Is it?
Yeah.
He's got receipts.
Now? Do you regret it? Do you? Yeah. That's what we need for the first game. It's perfect. I mean, it's perfect. You don't even need to sign him after that. That image alone will be worth it.
Yeah, we don't need fancy lights. We don't need 70,000 seats and an executive suite.
Yeah, that's Wanda. The home where Diego Costa beats people up. The house that Costa built. Good. Yeah.
Excellent.
That's a good plan, man. I'm telling you. Yeah. They should do that.
It's easier than negotiating with Chelsea, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so before we move on and talk about your team, Renato, Colts Narrow Chat.
I don't want to.
But I want to, so we're going to.
Yeah, it's our show anyway.
Before we move on, Renato, Colts Narrow Chat now has a Patreon page. Can you believe
it? Oh, great.
We have a Patreon page, and we're going to shout out to patron Chris Galvez. He is one of the members of our $5 pledge bracket. As such, he is entitled to a shout-out on Colts Neuro Chat, which he just received. Shout-out to Chris Galvez. Yes, behind-the-scenes images.
I mean, it was a double shout-out, so he should pay $10.
I'll let him know. Or when he listens to this, he may have a change of heart. He will also get behind-the-scenes images of the podcasting process, patron-exclusive polls. You got a follow on Twitter from Into the Calderon, priority on mailbag questions when we have mailbag episodes, which we're going to have more often this season. So, quite a lot. Head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat, to support the show. Give back to us like we give the show to you every single week.
Yes.
All right, Renato, the moment you've been waiting for.
I haven't.
But I have. Let's talk about Barcelona.
Yay.
You got Dembele. Okay? Like, that's good.
At least we did that, right?
At least you did that. You got your right back, who we have talked about before. He looks like a player, Semedo.
Oh, he'll be amazing.
So you got those two, and you got Paulinho, who, we've talked about him before as well. How, they're buying him based on what he's been doing for the Brazilian team, which is, he's been really good for the Brazilian team. They're not buying him to be...
Yeah, he just scored another goal last Thursday. So
you did.
That's what I've been saying to people, and they don't hear me.
And what was your fourth signing? Why can't I remember your fourth signing?
Oh, we brought De La Feo back.
De La Feo, that's right. Yeah, I'm still not very high on him, but...
I don't see that as a signing, really, because if you have a buyback clause, you're eventually going to activate it, so the player has been yours all along.
Yeah, so that doesn't really count. So basically three signings.
Yeah. But really good signings, in my opinion.
Yeah, but this summer has not really been about the players Barca signed, as good as they are. This summer has been a lot about the players Barca didn't sign and the things Barca didn't do or the things Barca tried to do and failed miserably at doing. Would you like to give us an overview of some of those failures?
Well, I think the biggest mistake Barca made in this whole thing is that they made it too public. Like, every week there was a press conference about, oh, we're going to make three more signings after this signing. And then when they announced the new one, they said, oh, there are going to be two more after this. And then they didn't make two more signings. So the biggest failure, of course, is Felipe Coutinho, which was the biggest target of the summer. It was an odd transfer situation when Barca never understood that no meant no. Liverpool made it very clear from the beginning they were not going to sell him. And they kept their word. And
yeah.
you can't fault Barca for trying. They offered more than half of the Neymar release clause. So not even more than half. The last offer was 70% of Neymar's release clause, which is just insane. And Liverpool still rejected it. So, I mean, you can't fault Barca for trying. That's for sure. They tried. And they made four bids. And Liverpool just didn't want to sell and kept their word. So there's not really too much to fault Barca there.
Yeah, it's weird that this is the hill that Liverpool decided to die on when you've sold all these other players in the previous years, including one to Barcelona 3 years ago. Like, it's weird that this is the player they chose to make an example out of. Like, Coutinho is class, but this is not really... apparently, they broke his heart by refusing to sell him to Barcelona, and now you have an unhappy player.
No, I don't think that's the case, to be honest.
You don't think so?
Coutinho is just a really good person, and he'll just get over it quickly. And I think it's a World Cup year, and there's a lot of good Brazilian players looking for a spot in the World Cup. So Coutinho has to have a really good season to confirm his place in the squad.
Yeah, fair.
So, and it's not like he's not going to leave Liverpool. Liverpool just didn't want to sell him this summer. Not that they weren't going to sell him at all. It just wasn't this summer because Klopp wanted to see how Coutinho will work with the new signings and the new system that Klopp wants to implement. And then if that doesn't work, or even if that works, they have Naby Keita come in and then they can sell Coutinho.
Yeah.
Klopp just wants to see how Coutinho works in midfield because the front three is very clearly going to be Mo Salah, Sadio Mane and Roberto Firmino. So Klopp just wants to see how Coutinho plays in midfield for him. And then next summer, after the World Cup, he sells him to Barca and gets Naby Keita. It's that simple. It was that simple. As soon as they learned that Keita wasn't going to come this summer, the Leipzig were adamant that that wasn't going to happen, Klopp made a plan B, which was, okay, we're going to sign... going to sign another winger and put Coutinho in midfield, and then we'll get Keita next summer and sell Coutinho. That's Liverpool's plan. And it's not really Barca's fault, man, to be honest. The board has done a lot of stupid stuff since Barca took over.
Yeah, this didn't seem too bad, though. They offered $160 million was the final offer. Like,
yeah,
that's huge
$160
money.
Million, for God's sakes.
Like, and you like, offer that and Liverpool still don't take it, you're like, okay, not much more we can do here.
But what I fault Barca for is not really having an alternative. They were convinced that they're going to get Coutinho, and they were absolutely convinced. And when you're absolutely convinced, you don't plan for an alternative. Which to me, there was a clear alternative, which was Thomas Lemar. And Barca did go after Thomas Lemar, but there wasn't too much time. Even though they had an extra day than Arsenal did, so they couldn't use the extra 24 hours to convince Monaco, but that's another story.
Yeah. So you have Coutinho, you have Tomas Lemar, who wasn't really going anywhere. I mean, the time to sign him was way earlier in the summer, when Monaco were just selling pretty much everyone.
Yeah, and then when they really saw that, they only decided to have options and alternatives 5 hours before the transfer window closed, which is when Liverpool rejected the fourth bid. It was 5 hours to go on deadline day, September 1st, and Barca was like, okay, let's go to Mesut Ozil and Angel Di Maria. And both PSG and Arsenal said, there's no way we're going to sell with 5 hours to go, because we're not going to find a replacement in 5 hours. So screw you, we're not selling them. It's your fault that you came too late. And they're right. I'm honestly happy that the Ozil and Di Maria deals didn't go through, because they're very good players, but they're not going to fit what we want. They're going to give us 1-2 years max, because they're already 30, and they're going to start to decline. I'd much rather have Dembele. Dembele is 20. We can't forget that he's 20. He's got a price tag of 150 million euros on him, with the performance bonuses, of course. It's going to take him a while to adapt and develop, and I don't see him being as good as I think he can be until 2 years from now.
But
he's
2 years
away from
him.
Being what Neymar was.
Yeah, but you still got him, and that's the important thing, is like you have a player like Dembele who is probably going to be your winger for the next 6-7 years.
Yeah, but like, I'd much rather wait 2 years for Dembele and then have him dominate the entire world of football for the next 7 or 8 years, then have Mesut Ozil and Di Maria for 2 years, and then having to chase someone else. Like, we have to start planning for the future, and Dembele is a very good signing for the future, because he wanted to play for Barca his whole life, and he's going to have at least 10 years at Barca, and we're always going to have a good team, and when he becomes the player I think he can become, he's going to lead that very good team for the next decade.
Yeah.
So I think that was a very good signing. And you get Semedo too, who can be our right back for the next decade too. So two very important positions are covered for the next half decade or for the next decade. So that was good business. The bad business was not having an alternative to Coutinho. That was really bad business.
Yeah, so you had the failed Coutinho chase, you have the failed Lemar chase, which may or may not have been, you know, their top priority, and it wasn't really. You had the Ozil links, which I didn't get, the Di Maria links, which I sort of got, but you have the whole thing with PSG, and you have the very, very, very late offer. And then you have the situation in central midfield. Sarri from Nice was available. They were very close, and they pulled out the last minute and kind of left him abandoned and very angry in France.
Yeah, that made me angry too. I don't understand why they put out.
Do you know if it is true that, or do you have any knowledge that Barca's board hadn't heard of him before checking Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
true.
Oh my god. I want to be surprised, but
someone who works for, I forgot the name of the bastard, the sporting director, Robert Fernandez. Someone who works for him. Sorry, I'm just angry at him. Someone who works for him saw that a lot of Barca fans were talking about Sarri on Twitter, and then they went to the analysis department and said, "Oh, pull up some videos of this guy. See if he's good." And then the analysis department was like, "Of course he's good. Don't you know of him?" And they, No, we don't. That's why we're asking you to look at him, because we don't know him. So, and then at the last minute, after they agreed a 40 million euro deal, Bartomeu was like, "Yeah, we don't really know him." And even though the Barca fans really want him, and Barca fans hate me, I'm going to make them hate me even more by not signing him. What a genius plan.
Yeah. Hard to get any better than that.
That's insane.
Yeah, that was the worst for me. And, of course, before that, there was the failed Verratti chase, which played a role in PSG signing Neymar as a revenge tactic. And it was quite the revenge tactic because it really paid off. You have all that, and Messi still hasn't signed a new contract.
Oh, no, that's not even the problem. It's Messi and Iniesta.
And Iniesta.
Who won't sign the contract until they're sure that Bartomeu won't be president anymore. That's the actual situation. Messi and Iniesta will not renew their contracts unless they have confirmation that Bartomeu won't be the president. And we only have until May to figure that out because their contracts run in June.
Yep.
And with Messi and Iniesta, it's going to be a very difficult negotiation that's going to take a few weeks. So we have until April and May to get rid of Bartomeu for the two most important players in the team and two of the most important players in the club history decide to sign a new contract. That's how amazing this board is.
They are truly special.
And Pep Guardiola is actually thinking of getting Messi and Iniesta on a free. Can you imagine if Pep got Messi and Iniesta on a free?
On free transfers.
Can you imagine?
Oh, no. No, I can't. I actually can't. That would be so insane. That would be more insane than paying $220 million for one footballer. Is the best footballer in the world, possibly of all time, leaving on a free.
PSG is doing the... They're dancing, oh, we got Neymar. And Pep shows up, and yeah, I got Messi and Iniesta for a free.
On a
drops
free.
The mic.
What you got? You got an FFP investigation.
Yeah.
How much do you hate PSG?
More than Real Madrid.
Beautiful.
I'm actually doing a career mode with Real Madrid on FIFA, because I don't really hate them that much. But I'll never do a career mode with PSG. That's my standard for how much I hate a certain team.
You'll never do career mode with them.
Yeah, I won't do career mode with Manchester United. I won't do a career mode with Chelsea. And I won't do a career mode with PSG. I won't do it with them. Because I just hate them. And I don't see myself celebrating goals on career mode with them. So, but my power rankings, my hatred power rankings is PSG number one. Nobody number two, nobody number three, Real Madrid number four, and Chelsea number five. That's my power rankings.
I love the two empty spots before you say Real Madrid.
That's how much I hate PSG.
Yeah, I can imagine. What's the best case here for Barca moving forward as it pertains to this board? What's the best and worst case scenario here? There's now going to be a vote of no confidence launched against Bartomeu. So what does that entail? Talk a little bit about that.
A very prominent member of the club is launching a vote of no confidence that actually fans can who are not socios, fans who are not members of Barca, can actually vote no confidence via WhatsApp. There's an official document that fans can vote via WhatsApp. And WhatsApp is a little bit of a popular app.
Yeah.
So quite a lot of fans can agree to this vote of no confidence. And if that vote of no confidence goes through, is actually approved, then there could be a process of impeachment of Bartomeu. So there is a chance that that guy won't be a president anymore. I won't make the comparison I was thinking of making right now because it's just not good. But he's a really bad president. And I really want to say, but I can't. I just can't.
I think I know what you're gonna say. So,
I guess that's exactly what we're thinking.
Yeah,
what I was gonna say.
I know where you're going with that.
And smart fans of the Coachinator chat are going to get it too.
Yeah, yes, they will.
He's the worst president in the world right now. That's as far as I'll go.
What if the vote of no confidence doesn't come off, though, and he stays?
Then we're really stuck until the next election.
And that's in 2019, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless it's made early, which was the case with the last election, which Bartomeu won with Arda Turan as his promise. And that shows how the members of the club had an opportunity to take him out and just couldn't because they thought Arda Turan was a good signing. That's the thing nobody talks about. Yeah, Bartomeu is bad, but people elected him.
Yep.
People had a chance to elect someone else. Someone, by the way, who led the the most successful period in the history of the club, and they just decided not to to elect him. So that's a fault of the socios too. But anyway, the best case scenario is the vote of confidence going through with a lot of support and a chance of him going being impeached or just stepping down, resigning because of pressure, which is totally possible. And then Valverde really clicks with the squad. Dembele turns into the beast I think he can be. And we have a good season already. Maybe win La Liga or reach a Champions League final. And once you reach the final, anything can happen. But the worst case scenario is he sticks around until 2019. Messi and Iniesta say, I'm out. Go to Man City on a free. And then Barca draw Man City in the Champions League group. Messi and Iniesta come back to Camp Nou next season and win with Man City 5-0 with a hat-trick from Messi and 5 assists from Iniesta.
You've already planned this out. You've already thought about this and like visualized it, haven't you?
Of course. Of course.
It's like when I visualize Real Madrid coming to play Atletico and I see all the horrible permutations that can go on there. I just think of all the horrible things that can happen and like they mostly come true. But yeah, I know where you're coming from.
And that's entirely possible because that's how bad the board is. That's how awful they made the situation.
Yeah.
That they are actually pushing Messi and Iniesta out of the club. The two players who will never leave Barcelona as long as they leave are actually thinking of leaving the club. So we need that guy out. We need the sporting director out. Voldemort is better than the sporting director. Yeah, that's how frustrated I am. And you know what's the most impressive thing is? As bad as the board is, they couldn't stop Nelson Semedo and Ousmane Dembele from coming to Barca because they actually care about Barca and want to see Barca doing well. That's the most amazing thing about the summer.
Not even they could screw that up.
I mean, Ousmane Dembele went on freaking strike to come to Barca.
And yeah.
He actually did not show up for 10 days at Borussia Dortmund until he convinced Dortmund to sell, even though Dortmund wanted more money than Barca actually offered. So they actually pulled off a cheaper transfer because Dortmund wanted the full 150. But Dembele's strike convinced them to make it 40 in performance bonuses when they actually wanted the full 150 right now. So the board actually pulled off a cheaper transfer of Dembele because Dembele had to go on strike. So that's how insane the situation has become. And I just hope they leave as soon as possible. Otherwise, it's going to be a very, very bleak immediate future for the club that I love, and it will hurt me to see that.
As far as things on the pitch so far this season, though, it's only been a couple games. I'm not going to talk about the Super Cup.
And Super Cups are preseason.
Yeah, so it's basically preseason, and Madrid are just going to run over everybody this season. You know, what have you made of the first couple games? What did you liked about them? Thoughts on Valverde, etc.
What I liked is that we are organized. We have more of a structure. I'm not gonna talk crap about Luis Enrique because he gave us a treble and a double. So
yeah, exactly. A lot of fans want to do that, but
even though his last season was really poor, he gave us a treble and a double, and he did a really good job in those two seasons. So, but his last season was really damaging tactically, and Valverde is making a conscious effort to make the team more organized and structured. So we actually had two clean sheets in the first two games.
Yeah.
And it's not like Ter Stegen had to make 10 saves a game like he was making in Lucho's last season. We had pretty easy 2-0 wins against Betis and who did we play?
Alaves.
Betis and Alaves. Well, we had two pretty easy, comfortable games. The attack is pretty much Messi dependencia, which is going to be the case for a while because there's a lot of work to be done offensively because Luis Enrique kind of destroyed a little bit the tiki-taka and pep ball, like as I like to call it, in his last season. So he instilled this notion of constant transition and counterattack and not having control of the game and less possession that is going to take a while for Valverde to correct. And until he's able to make the whole team work until he makes Messi benefit from the team instead of having Messi doing everything for the team. That's going to take a while. So, but I think we're going to get there because unlike a lot of Barca fans, I think Valverde is very, very competent.
He's a good coach. Yeah, he's a very good coach.
I don't think he's a good coach. I think he's a very good coach. And Barca already looked coached in the first two games, especially defensively. And I think every team, even Barca, any team in the world, the first thing you work on is the defense. That's how I look at things.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Barca scored the most goals in the world every year, we have to have a good defense. Otherwise, it doesn't. We lose 3-0 in Turin, and we lose 4-0 in Paris.
Yeah.
So
that was one of the things that needed to change.
Yes. So Valverde is making a conscious effort to organize the defense, to structure the midfield, and that's working. You already see his coaching methods working. And then it's going to be only a matter of time before Luis Suarez is healthy again and loses a few kilos, and before Dembele adapts and we really have a really potent attack again. Nelson Semedo is going to make such a huge difference at right back. So I think we're going to have a good season. We're going to contend for the league. I'm not worried about that. I think we're going to do pretty well in the league. I think the second half of the season, I'm predicting it to be really strong because Valverde will just work really hard for the first 6 months, and then I think his work is going to start to show off in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And with 6 months for Dembele to adapt, I think he's really going to start tearing things apart starting in January. So we're not going to be as good as Real Madrid.
No one is.
Because Real Madrid are ridiculous right now. But we're going to give him a challenge, and I think that's enough for Valverde for a season. I really think we're going to be really competitive when he has 2 or 3 years coaching this team. But for this season, a competitive league campaign, a good Champions League run, maybe semifinal, and continuously adding structure to the team and progressing tactically and looking at how Dembele and Semedo develop and gel with the players and finding a way to keep Messi and Iniesta around for the next 3 or 4 years, I think I'll be satisfied. And it'll be a perfect season. If we win the league and Bartomeu stays, it's a disaster. If we end up trophyless and he goes, I'll be the happiest Barca fan in history. Because that means we're making progress.
Fair enough, Renato. Fair enough. Well, let's leave it there. And Renato about to sign off here. I'll ask Renato to stay on for just a second while I do the sign-off message. That is the one and only Renato Gonçalves. Thank you for coming on, man. Always love having you, as you know.
Love you too.
You can follow Renato on Twitter at RenatoDSG. That's RenatoDSG. You can follow me on Twitter at JBBaron. JBBERen, of course. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. You can follow, did I already say follow Into the Calderon? I think I did. You can like Into the Calderon on Facebook at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. The more I keep adding to the sign off message, the more confused I get. Also, check out our Patreon page. Again, it is patreon.com/CultureNarrowChat. You can support the show, give back to the show like we give the show to you on a weekly basis. All right, I think I've hit on every single sign-off topic. We'll be back next week to talk Atleti and Valencia. Until then, adios.